Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast. Today, really thrilled to have Tom together with me. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you already his voice, Tom DeWitt. We are going to discuss about the skill gap. But before we deep dive into this topic, as usual, Tom, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Tom DeWitt. I'm the founder and director of CXM at MSU, which is an industry-facing organization based at Michigan State University, which is designed to advance thought and practice in the field of customer experience management. I'm also the founder and academic program director for the Masters of Science in Customer Experience Management degree at Michigan State University, which is the first academic program, undergraduate or graduate, at an accredited university in North America.
Thank you very much. And which values drive your life?
Which values drive my life?
Yeah.
I think it's giving. It's kind of a double-edged sword where I see a need, not just in CX, but elsewhere. While many people will form a committee or to discuss what they're going to do, I tend to just jump in and get it done. I think that helps to explain me and what I do. At Michigan State, we call it Spartan's Will. And it's kind of this mentality or attitude that if there's a need out there, Spartans are going to address it. So I'm not sure if giving is the right word, but I think I've kind of described the value that kind of drives me.
Thank you, Tom. And now that we know more about you, today's top player, Tom DeWitt, we are going to discuss about the skill gap, and it's in our field, it's in the customer experience field. I really enjoyed the pre-discussion. We discussed a lot about the topic, but now we want to share also this information and our ideas also together with the audience. Let's start and discuss what specific CX leadership skills are lacking in the industry and how these gaps affect then CX initiatives.
Okay. I think the most acute need I see right now is the ability of CX leaders to speak the language of the C-suite. One of our industry colleagues, Patty Soltis, put it really well in a comment on LinkedIn. She said, how many CX leaders know how to read a company annual report? And I think she's absolutely right. You know, I think often our goals as CX leaders, and I think we've been convinced perhaps by survey companies that we need to be focused on NPS and CSAT and customer effort score. But unless you can translate that language into the language of the C-suite, which is more about revenues and cost and share price, then you fall short. I think the day of simply being able to communicate, demonstrate the ROI of CX is gone. I think it's more about being able to demonstrate how CX initiatives impact the key performance indicators that leaders in the C-suite are evaluated on. Otherwise, CX operations and CX leaders are going to continue to be eliminated, and they're being so on a regular basis. You know, positions are being eliminated, CX functions are being eliminated. So until CX leaders can understand the language of the C-suite and what leaders in the C-suite are being evaluated on and being able to demonstrate how CX initiatives are impacting those KPIs, I think the leadership, you know, to me, that's one of the biggest gaps right now.
Thank you. And I think that what you're saying is key, because you mentioned ROI of CX initiatives. And I can understand that for the first few initiatives that the company starts with doing CX. But at some point in time, we want to mature. And now, in the meantime, CX is there since a long time. Nobody cares about ROI because it's not a project. We know we are speaking about CX as a growth strategy, and therefore we need to define the KPIs and to work with the KPIs that will help us achieve long-term success, as we are always saying. And these are not ROI, but these are revenues, profit, and this is key. And now I know that perhaps some people in the community won't like what I'm going to say, but we are speaking about the skills that are required. And I see more and more and more that you can take a two-day course during the weekend, and then you receive this certificate. And now I do a stupid example from the Greg LLCC or from the CX Scorekeeper podcast. But I'm not sure that within these 2 days you gain the right skill that you need. And I know that you created, and you have a lot of thought leaders and friends that are working together with you at Michigan State University for this master. Could you please explain a bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. The motivation behind creating the degree was really in looking at LinkedIn profiles of CX leaders and really seeing that these positions were really resting on a house of cards. You would see career trajectories that would make no sense. You know, can you imagine, for example, someone rising to the role of chief financial officer coming from sales or coming from supply chain management or otherwise? But that's exactly what's happened in our industry, is because there wasn't really a strong foundation and an academic foundation that exists for functions like accounting and finance and marketing and otherwise. You often see that. I've spoken to senior leaders who one day they're CMO, next day they're CXO. I talked to a senior leader at a major telecom company who came from a role in sales in another company, and next thing you know, they're the CXO. So it was that recognition, and also a lot of discussions with industry people who told me the industry is fragmented. And when I asked why, two themes emerged. One were these gaps in skill sets. You know, you and I know the skill set for a CXO or chief customer officer, it's got to cover a lot of bases. It's not simply about gathering and interpreting data or generating journey maps. It's about engaging employees. It's about organizational change. And so it's not just a gap in skill sets, but it's also fragmented in how organizations view CX. And I'm sure you've run across people like this, but I've been introduced to VPs of CX. And when I ask about their CX function, they tell me they oversee the contact center, which is where people go to complain about their bad experiences. So there's no data collection, there's no design, there's nothing, right? So seeing this in LinkedIn, it got me thinking about the need for an academic program. So I started doing some searching online, didn't find any programs of substance in the US, except for, to your point, certificates that are generated by for-profit companies, often, you know, to promote their own business interests, not for the greater good of the CX industry. And I found a couple of master's programs in Spain, and that was it. So that was a motivation behind the degree. And then it was working with industry to identify all the skills necessary to be effective as a CXO and to create an effective customer experience management function. So we literally thought about if you had to build an organization from the ground to do that effectively, where would you start and what steps would you take? So our courses, there's 15 5-week courses that are taken over 20 months. It's all delivered online. And that's important for people to understand. This program is designed for working professionals to meet them where we are. So we have students as far-flung as Vietnam all the way to South Africa. The majority of our students are in the borders of the U.S. from the East Coast to the West Coast, as are our instructors. So 13 of 15 instructors work in industry. They're senior leaders from industry. Many are names that your audience will recognize, like Mark Slayton, Diane Majors, Lou Carbone, Wayne Simmons, who's a global lead of CX for Pfizer. Yeah, so incredible instructors in their own right, and where they sit in industry, and they're located across the U.S. So students meet for 2 hours a week in a synchronous class session across those 15 5-week courses in a team-based learning model. So there's no lecture. Any talking that the instructor wants to do is captured in a video, and it's put in a learning management system, which students watch before they come to class. But our courses are very applied and very reflective. We want people who are working or have access to an organization that they can analyze and fix, you know, and to compare results with classmates. So it's really interesting about our program, not just the courses, but the dynamics of these teams. So every 5 weeks, students rotate into a new team. So you might be paired with a UX designer from a shoe company. We had one of those, say he graduated. It could be a software designer who designs apps for General Motors. We've had a couple of those. It could be a journey lead from a financial services company. We've had those. And what's interesting is students get exposure not just to other industries, but different functions. And people that have expertise, often in the course that you're taking, and I'm not going to go through all the courses, people can go online to do that. But what's kind of interesting, there's no formal discussion about NPS until the 14th course in the degree. So we don't lead with surveys. You know, surveys are, it's something that, you know, surveys are designed to measure performance against design. So you never want to lead with that. You want to end with that. You know, that's towards the end, right? So we've done everything we possibly can in terms of our organization, how CX is governed, how strategy is designed, how we've designed the experience, how we've developed our people. You know, one thing that doesn't get discussed enough in our industry is the employee experience and employee engagement. Those are two different things. They're related, but you know, they're often used interchangeably in our industry, which is an indication that there's a deficiency there in how we view it. But employee engagement is a mental state, an employee mental state, and what keeps employees motivated and why they behave the way they do. So our courses cover all the necessary skills, and then there's a depth to it. You know, each course for 5 weeks, we go really, really deep. And no tests, no exams, unlike those certificates you talk about. Everything is project-based. So the work in class is collaborative, but students work on individual assignments each week, which are very applied to their organization, which are kind of a laddered approach to a project, which is often a presentation to the leadership. So they've done analysis, they've made recommendations. So they're processing all these skills and applying them with their critical thinking skills. And then in the end, when they graduate, and we've graduated two cohorts now, you've got this really cohesive unit, this network of people who are very supportive of one another, not just during the program and not just around studies, but after as well. So one of the things we're working on right now is an alumni association for the degree program now that we've graduated two cohorts. And they're going to be actively involved in helping the students in the program as well.
What you're saying, it's really cool. We feel not only your passion for the topic, but we also understand the quality. It's academic-based, but it goes in depth. It's not only 2 days, it's over a period of time. I think it has all the specifics that are required to give these people joining the right insights, the right knowledge, the right wisdom to get better and then to drive also the most important customer experience roles out there. I'm now coming from the other side. I am still feeling that corporates are not always very supportive when we're speaking about CX education. From your point of view, what's the missing piece? What it's lacking that companies will support this formal education instead of this half-a-day course that don't really help for all what it's required to have a long-term sustainable CX in the company?
You know, what I've come to realize is professional development isn't part of their vocabulary. I think most CX leaders are so consumed with trying to prove themselves in their operation that many haven't taken the time to think about their team, where it is today, where they want their team to be in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, who's on that team, what skills do they possess, what steps are they taking as leaders to develop those skills. I find that discussion noticeably absent whenever I engage CX leaders. So we're working very hard on that now. So we're having one-on-one discussions, half-an-hour discussions with leaders. We're putting together a corporate collaborative that's focused on professional development. And I think, you know, that's also a way to legitimize the role of CX and the CX function in an organization when you do something like that. Because unlike the finance department and accounting, those people come in with degrees. You know, they come in with their accounting degree, with their CPA. Many have MBAs. They're already coming into the organization that way, and they're using their degrees to differentiate themselves for a promotion. What do we come in as practitioners? You've got a bachelor's degree, maybe a certificate or two that other people in your operation don't understand. And, you know, one thing I will point out, you know, when you were talking about certificates, what I always ask people is, why are you doing this? Is it for the letters, or is it because you really want to learn? You know, if you really want to learn, then I think our program's for you. If you just want the letters, then go ahead, you know, and go that way. So, you know, I think what our degree does is it helps to legitimize people in their roles. Now they can compete. In fact, they can compete much better than someone with an MBA. I mean, I did an MBA. An MBA is not a very focused degree. It tends to focus, you know, there are courses I hated to sit through. Finance, managerial accounting, you know, all the courses that didn't interest me and didn't really relate to my job. And that's what MBAs do. They give you a different, you know, set of skills that you may or may not use in your role. If you're in CX, maybe not so much. But what our degree does is it helps to legitimize the role of the chief experience officer or even the patient experience director or otherwise. And they can go toe-to-toe in the boardroom with people with MBAs because they have the top degree in customer experience management in the world. But I think, you know, also, it reflects a broader trend. MBA programs, as some of your listeners may be aware, they're starting to dry up. A lot of universities have given up on MBA programs, and they're moving more towards specialized master's degrees. At Michigan State University, we have in the college business, we have 10 different specialized master's degree programs, including ours, in addition to an MBA program and an executive MBA. So I know that was a long answer. I can't even remember the question, but
no, that's the perfect answer. And I think you are also going to the next point I would like to discuss with you today. And it's about the future of these skills. You spoke about development going away from general MBAs to specific skills and specific masters. And now back to our functions, to our community, our CX community. How do you foresee the CX skills development evolving in the next years?
I think, you know, there's always has to be an ongoing discussion because when you look at the priorities in CX, they're always evolving. I mean, look what AI, and I think we're still trying to figure out AI, right? In terms of, is it a benefit? Is it a curse? Does it? And whether it's at a conference or whether it's at a faculty meeting. And for example, we hold monthly faculty meetings where we talk about these issues and talk about how we integrate them into the curriculum. I think it's healthy for CX practitioners. And this is one thing that I think CX people are very good at. It's healthy to engage yourself in as many conversations with fellow practitioners as you can. And we have a monthly roundtable where we talk about these issues. We have conferences we host each year, twice each year. But there's a lot of different venues where you can engage with fellow CX practitioners to understand where are the pressures, where are the demands, where are the deficiencies, and to be part of the solution. You know, like when I look at our conference, we, even though we have different tracks, I've learned not try to not fill the tracks. I used to do that. You know, I'd look at the core competencies that are reflected in our degree and reflected in the program because I don't want us to lose sight. I don't want us to get distracted by things like AI. And you've seen a lot of that in the past 2 years. What's the theme? There shouldn't be a theme to a conference because it's generally the basic skills we screw up on as CX practitioners that we struggle with. You know, when we get distracted by things, and those aren't going to go away. So what I really enjoyed about this year's conference as I was asking for presentations is there is a focus, more of a focus in the presentations than I've ever seen before on proving the viability of CX by demonstrating the business impact. So, you know, the skills necessary are going to evolve because the business necessitates it. We're still figuring out as an industry, as a function, where we fit in the organization. And we haven't quite found that yet. We know we need to be in the C-suite. We know we need to have a say. We need to have a line drawn to the CEO. That's great. But unlike most functions in the organization, we have to be able to work across, I hate to use the word silos, but that's what they are. That's what they become, right? We need to work across different functions in the organization, which requires incredible communication and leadership skills. But then you have things like AI, you have this business impact. So what I do like about our industry and how it deals with things as these topics are being pushed to the forefront and people are sharing. So, you know, I guess I can promote our conference a bit, but what I love about our conference is it's not vendor driven. It's not solution driven. You're not going to be harassed by software suppliers or anybody else as you walk down the hall. It's practitioner driven. So the practitioners are driving the content. Thankfully, we're hitting all of our tracks. But, you know, to my point previously, what's really at the forefront right now is actually the topic that we talked about at the beginning of the program, is it's about the customer-centric organization and moving the organization towards customer centricity, but also being able to demonstrate how customer experience management is helping to grow the business. And you laid that out. It's revenues, it's profits, it's market share, and being able to speak the language of the C-suite and doing it. So I think it's, and one of the things that I like about our program, the fact that so many of our instructors are embedded in industry, we can have discussions about trends and new skills, and we can respond immediately to update our courses. So we ask questions around, like we did with AI, where does it belong in your course? How do you support it with activities and readings or videos? And we can do that with most anything, which we do.
Tom, I think this is the best way to conclude this main discussion about the skills gap. I know that we discussed high level, but we got really a good feeling about what is quality and what is qualitative quality education in our field. Now we are coming to an end, but in the extra time, in the last 3 minutes of this podcast, I still have 3 questions for you. Short question with short answers, please. Fast forward, in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Probably my retirement and how I've been spending it. I love the program, and I almost said my program. One of my students, I was walking up to meet a group of students for the first time, and I heard one of them said, "There's the founding father." So I love my program. I hope in 10 years' time, I'm still involved in the program and leading the program, and that we're delivering it in multiple ways. And I think in 10 years we'll have undergraduate programs in CX. I really do. You know, I think it's a viable career field and it's worthy of an undergraduate program. So that's what I would love to see in 10 years is an undergraduate program in CX, as well as a full-time master's program and different modes of it. And then hopefully in 10 years I can enjoy my retirement. I'll be 72. So
perhaps you will enjoy that, but we will miss you in the community. But now we still have time to contact you. What's the best way to contact you?
The best way to contact me is through LinkedIn. I'm easy to find. If you put Tom DeWitt in CX, I'm going to be at the top of the list, and always love to hear from people. So easy to message, easy to connect with.
Thank you. And where we can find the master that you mentioned?
Also on LinkedIn, we have our own page. If you put in there a master's, in fact, if you Google Masters of Customer Experience Management, we're going to be at the top of the list. If you put Masters of Science and Customer Experience Management, you'll find us on LinkedIn.
Thank you. And for the audience, you will find, as usual, all this information also in the show notes. And now we are coming to the last question. Is Tom's golden nugget? It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience.
Tom's golden nugget? Is this advice or what?
Yes, it's your best advice. The best piece of advice that you can or want to give to
people. Okay. Yeah, the one thing we haven't talked about, and I think this is really important, live internationally, travel internationally. You know, I think CX practitioners in the U.S., I think in many ways they've got tunnel vision and maybe they think our ways are the best way. I find that international travel and spending time, not just vacationing, living abroad, it really opens my eyes up to what it's like to be a consumer in different cultures and also how organizations or companies meet those needs. Because what's, I would say 90 to 95% of consumer needs are shared globally, but it's how people and organizations respond to those needs in different cultures is so fascinating and it's so invigorating. So I've traveled over 40 countries. I think I've lived in five if you include Hawaii, which I do. And I think to me, that's really shaped who I am and how I view things. So that's my golden nugget.
Tom, thank you very much for your time. It was a pleasure to have you on the CX Goalkeeper podcast.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you to the audience. For today, it's everything. Tom, please stay with me. I hope that the audience enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. Thank you very much and see you next time. Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.